What's up, Mets fans? Welcome to the Whole Lotta Mets podcast. My name is Mendy. So I put out a mock trade out there on Twitter for Chris Bryant and Kyle Hendricks. People hate it, absolutely hate it. So I decided to give people a chance, like, hey, if you guys don't like my trade, come on and debate me. So I have a Twitter follower who came on and debated me. And guys, this is a Met fan central, like, centric podcast. If you guys want to come on and give your opinion, that's awesome. I made this podcast. I'm a Met fan for Met fans. This is a podcast for Met fans. I want everybody's opinion. Guys, thank you so much for all your support. You guys could tweet at me at Lotta Mets. If you guys ever want to come on, give me a DM. I would love to have you on. I want this to be a Met fan centric podcast. All right, guys, here we go.
Hello?
You hear me?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, do you
hear me? You're kind of choppy.
Hold on. Do you get help putting like AirPods or something?
Sure.
Alright, do you think it's better now?
Yeah, there we go. All right. You ready? One,
yeah.
Two, wait till 40 seconds. All right, Met fans. So I have Constantine. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Constantine.
So I put out a mock trade between the Cubs and the Mets. My trade was Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez, Jarius Familia, Brandon Nimmo, J.D. Davis, for Kyle Hendricks, Ian Happ, and Chris Bryant, of course. So the backlash is absolutely amazing to me. I'm not complaining because either way, it's press. So good press, bad press. There's no such thing as bad publicity. But there's not one person who likes my trade, which makes me feel kind of special, you know, because the Cubs fans hate it and the Mets fans hate it. So if you can't make any of them happy, it kind of means that it's kind of a fair trade. But so I put out a tweet out there saying whoever wants to debate me is more than welcome. So we have Constantine. So where do you want to begin?
Let's just jump right into player evaluations of the guys in the deal.
All right, let's do it. Go ahead.
The need for a frontline rotation starter after the Lindor deal, where we also got Carrasco, the need for that went way down, in my opinion. I think everybody can agree with that. We need depth more so than we need another frontline starter.
Okay.
So while Kyle Hendricks, we can both agree, he's a great pitcher, ERA under 3 last year, 2.88. He's a great pitcher. I don't think that he feels a pressing need at this point. When you see DeGrom, you see Carrasco, you see Stroman, and you have Noah coming back soon. At some point in the first half of the season, I think that we can survive with Mats and Peterson as a 4 and 5.
So,
what do you say to that?
So you think that the need for Kyle Hendricks is basically not there, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that the Mets should 100% be out on Bauer, I assume?
Yeah, I think that they are because, one, I think Springer fits this roster way better. And, two, I think Bauer is a major regression candidate, but that is not in this debate, I guess you could say.
Okay, so according to you, I could kind of see how you don't like the trade because you don't think that pitching is a need. Or at least decent rotation players. So I'm going to ask you this, right? We have Conforto coming up for an extension. We have Lindor coming up for an extension. We have Syndergaard obviously coming up, and we have Marcus coming up. So it's very hard to imagine that the Mets are going to re-sign Noah, never mind Marcus. So if you take those two out of the rotation, right, you have DeGrom, you have Carrasco, and then what? David Peterson, maybe. And then who's going to be your 3, 4, 5 for the next couple of years?
Yeah, so saying that, I mean, we can always – we're not under the bullpens anymore, one. I know we still have a salary cap, and there is – not a salary cap, I should say, but there's like
the –
The luxury tax, yeah.
Which is kind of a salary cap, let's be honest.
Yeah. So, you know, we are not just free to spend whatever the hell Steve Cohen wants to spend, but we do have leeway, right? So I think Cohen, Sandy, Jared Porter, you know, obviously Cohen just cutting the checks, but there is, at least for me, full confidence that we are going to find somebody to fill that third or fourth rotation spot. I think we bring one of those two back. And I do think it'll be Noah.
Okay. So I have another question for you then, right?
Yeah.
You know that DeGrom can opt out, I think, after the 21 offseason or the 22 offseason. I'm just going to say that. But let's say Syndergaard, right, he comes back from Tommy John and he's just not the same pitcher, right? Then do you want to give out a decent-sized contract to Marcus? Never mind the free agency class coming up, which is going to be absolutely loaded. So why would you want to handicap yourself to like give Noah a big extension or Marcus a big extension when you could go out and maybe get Nolan Arenado or like I don't know, you know, I'm just spitballing names out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are tying yourself down, because Syndergaard is a big name and Syndergaard is going to get paid. Marcus is a decent name. He's not that good. But he is going to get paid a lot more than he's worth. So if you take those two out of the equation, you have absolutely nobody. And I do know that the Mets obviously don't have we're not under the Wilpons, obviously. But we do have to re-sign Lindor and we do have to sign Conforto. And I hope we do sign Springer, you know? So, like, there is a lot of big money. So you do have to take that into account.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, you cut out for a second.
No. You're good.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. If you were if you were the Mets, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of him as a fair trade?
I didn't think about that part. I'm just thinking about why I wouldn't want to do this trade.
Okay. So if you're gonna go that route, right?
Yeah.
Where do you think I'm giving up too much for?
So, just to hit on a point what you said about re-signing one of Stroman or Noah. I wouldn't give out a contract extension before the season is over or anything like that. One, I'm not a fan of doing the in-season deals. Like Lindor had said, baseball season starts, it's all baseball season. No money talk. But I don't see a reason for us to be quote-unquote handicapped going into this offseason without giving one of them a deal. That's the reason why I don't want to trade for Hendricks. Because Hendricks has a $14 million cap hit all the way until 2023 and then a $16 million cap hit in 2024.
Okay, so I have a question for you. If I say that Yu Darvish was in this trade over Kyle Hendricks, would you do it?
Give me a moment to look up his... Oh, well, Yu Darvish got traded.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you replace Kyle Hendricks with Yu Darvish, would you do that trade?
Let me see for a second. Because I don't know his contract off the top of my head.
Darvish is about 20 a year, 22 a year.
No, I would not do that. He's getting $22 million up until 2023, it says.
Yeah. So you wouldn't do it for you, Darvish?
No.
Okay, good. I was just asking because I see Mets fans absolutely freaking out about how the Mets didn't go out and get Darvish. It's a contract dump, yada, yada, yada. But if you look at career numbers and you compare Hendricks and Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks is the Cubs' best pitcher out there.
Especially on a cost-to-production basis, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%, but never mind even that. Kyle Hendricks has better numbers than Yu Darvish does. So yeah. So just because Kyle Hendricks isn't that big name, that doesn't mean that he's not a big time player. So I think that Kyle Hendricks, at least in my opinion, is a huge get, because I saw the Mets get carried by pitching in 2015. So mm-hmm. can you imagine if you put that 2015 rotation with the 2021 Mets lineup out there right now? That would be absolutely insane. Not to mention that all these guys are not costing you a lot, and they're all going to be controllable for the next 3 years. Plus, Jake Odorizzi is going to get around 3 years, $30 million. And I see Mets fans clamoring for him when I hate Jake Odorizzi. I think that Jake Odorizzi is an absolute bum. So the fact that Mets fans would blindly give Jake Odorizzi a 3 year deal, $30 million, and he doesn't even have half the production that Kyle Hendricks does is absolutely insane to me. I think if people actually look at Kyle Hendricks' numbers and realize how good he is, then this whole trade makes sense. Not to mention, I'm also dumping Familia's contract on them. So if you look at the prospects that I gave up, mm-hmm. I'm a big prospect guy. I'm big into sports cars. I'm big into autographs. I didn't know that Mets fans absolutely love Brett Beatty. I live in Brooklyn. I go to Cyclone games. I honestly don't think that Brett Beatty is that good. And I also think that Brett Beatty is going to be a first base slash DH player. So if you already have Pete Alonso, where are you going to play Brett Beatty? Not to mention that he's 3 years about 3 years from making his major league debut. But Francisco Alvarez is a really good prospect. He was untouchable to me until I made this trade, because I think that this trade is that good. Brandon Nimmo cannot play center field defensively for the Mets this baseball season. He is not a good outfielder. Dom is a beast. He really is. But Anthony Rizzo is going to be a free agent next year, and the Cubs probably aren't going to pay him because they are looking to cut payroll. So I tossed him in there because he could be their future first baseman even now. And I added JD Davis in there because for all these people who love analytics and everything like that, he's not hitting the ball nearly as hard. He does not have a good third base glove. He doesn't really have that good of a outfield glove. He's a DH. But if the Cubs trade away Bryant, he can play third base for them. So that's how I came up with that package. And I have the Mets coming back with Ian Happ is a switch hitting, basically Ben Zobrist, who has 4 years left of arbitration. And obviously Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant. I don't really think that I have to go out there and explain what Brian brings. And I think that Kyle Hendricks is an absolutely all-star rotation pitcher. And that's why I think it's a fair trade. So I've been talking for way too long. go ahead. I'm sorry right. about that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Don't worry. We are passionate. We all get a little bit sidetracked here and there. But so I do not see trading our third. Well, let me say this. I think Brett Beatty is our fifth best prospect. Mauricio Alvarez, Matt Allen, all above him, right? Matt Allen is a star in the making. But so like you said, Brett Beatty is 3 years away from being anywhere near making an MLB debut. Francisco Alvarez, 4 years away from making an MLB debut. We have him lined up perfectly with McCann, right? After McCann's contract is over, Francisco Alvarez slots in right away and plays. Mm-hmm. I think the DH being added in potentially this season, for sure next season, right from Manfred's mouth, That's a big reason to keep Dom Smith. You move Pete Alonso to the DH. You put Dom Smith right at first base. And that's a perfect fit right there. Now, with Nimmo being a bad outfielder, I have to disagree with you. I think that in center field, he is a little bit disadvantaged because he is a corner outfielder. That's why I've been a big fan of signing Springer this offseason. I think he takes our defense to another level. I think Nimmo in a corner outfield spot has elite range. I see Nimmo, Springer, Conforto being a pretty upper echelon defensive outfield. In addition to having Nimmo as a 400-plus on-base percentage guy, last year his OPS was almost 900. I mean, I don't see this guy being a bad outfielder. I see him as, if you stick him in a quarter outfield spot, his defense gets a lot better right there. He's a great number one in your lineup. That's what I see. Oh, what are your thoughts on that with Nimmo?
Personally, I feel like Met fans overvalue homegrown guys. Nimmo is an on-base machine. No doubt about that, right? But he cannot play center field. I'm sorry, he cannot play center field. But like you said, right, you're going to have him play the corner. Probably left field, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's no DH this year, what are you going to do with Dom then?
Yeah,
because there's probably not going to be a DH this year. Rob said to prepare for no DH. Yeah. So you're going to platoon Pete and Dom. But let's say that happens, other than Pete goes on an absolute tear. You can't bench Pete. So what are you going to do with Dom?
Oh, no, you keep Pete out there. But, excuse me, what I would say is we could always sign Jackie Bradley Jr., a player like him, to a one-year deal. Make it pretty worth his time over here because, you know, we have Cohen. He doesn't really care about the checks that he signs.
But he's not going to go over the taxes here. That's exactly kind of why I am making this trade, because if I was so confident that he was going to go over the tax and everything like that, I wouldn't be trying so hard to get creative and everything like that. But the one thing that I took away from Jared Porter's press conference with Sandy when they announced Lindor is that they said that rotation is a big need and that they're going to get creative with it. And I think that this is pretty creative, and I think that this fills a big need. Granted, Dom is a good player. Nimmo is a good player. Francisco Alvarez is going to be an absolute star. I agree with you. But how did we get Francisco Alvarez? Do you remember?
We signed him, and from international pool money, I believe.
Exactly. And so far this whole podcast, what have you been telling me?
With Cohen's money.
Exactly. And what? Yep. What have the Dodgers been doing?
Well, yeah, we're becoming a good organization just like the Dodgers.
That's exactly my point. So you could go out the same way that the Mets have been absolutely dirt cheap in international free agent signings. Now we have Cohen's money. You could go out and you could replace Francisco Alvarez next year or the year after that and just retool your farm system that way. And Ian Happ can play center field. And he's a pretty decent glove. He's a switch hitter compared to if you go out and you sign JBJ, you have Nimmo, JBJ, Conforto, you have McNeil. So your whole outfield is all left-handed. And when Dom is in the lineup, your first base is also left-handed. So you can't have that many left-handed bats either. Which is why Ian Happ is so big to this. Ian Happ is a switch hitting, power hitting center fielder, second baseman, third baseman, first baseman. He could play everywhere, and he has 4 years of control left. So it's not like it's just the Chris Bryant trade, which is why I put Chris Bryant second under Kyle Hendricks, because I don't think the reason why you are doing this trade is because of Chris Bryant. I feel like everybody sees it as the Bryant trade when I see it as Bryant is included, but it's not the Bryant trade.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
So, okay, a lot to unpack here. But with Chris Bryant, he is going to be free agent this year also in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So now we go from Stroman, Noah, Conforto, Lindor to those four guys plus Chris Bryant. We're out on our starting third baseman in JD, which even though people might not see him as a long-term starter here, he is definitely a solid bat, and, you know, he fits.
I'm a big fan of J.D. Davis. I love J.D. Davis. I call him Jumbo Dong Davis. It's freaking J.D. Davis. I love him. But when Sandy Alderson says J.D. Davis is our third baseman right now, the fact that he's not a vote right now, that means that he's gone. Yeah. He's gone, which is why I added him in this trade, too. So that's up to you. Because how do you think that he's going to feel after the GM said right now, and then you go out and you get a third baseman, and then you just have J.D. Davis on the bench? That's not going to go well.
Look, I think these guys are all paid to be, you know, professional MLB players, and this is just the business side of it. You know, if Sandy says that and he finds a better deal and ships J.D. off, well, good luck to you, J.D. I wish you the best. I just hope we won that trade. And if he stays, then JD, you're here. You put on a smile every day you come into work because you're getting paid to play baseball. And, you know, you do your job. The fans still love you regardless of if you're going to get traded or not, especially if you stay. He knows that he has a huge fan base over here.
100%. And I agree with you, right? But let's be real here, especially nowadays athletes, which is why I love Lindor so much, because he says all the right things and you know he's going to do the right thing. Athletes now are just a bunch of spoiled brats. Am I saying that J.D. Davis is one of them? Absolutely not. I don't know J.D. Davis. I'm a big fan of J.D. Davis. But you go from starting 2 years to now being demoted to a bench role to where you're maybe the second man off the bench. I don't know how happy he's going to be.
One thing is winning cures everything. Like, I know Max Muncy, the year that not this year, I think it was the year after the year before, where the Dodgers had lost in the World Series, he was coming off the bench and they were winning games. They asked him about it, I'm pretty sure, and his answer was where we have the best record in the MLB right now. So I see the need to upgrade. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say J.D. Davis is a good glove. The fact of the matter is he's below average. Whatever he gets you in your lineup, you know, he's going to give you like a .280 batting average, something around there. He's always going to hit for power. And if those numbers decline, then he will be out of a starting job because he's not a good fielder. But there's nothing to suggest that he isn't serviceable to go into this year with.
Oh, I 100% agree with you, right? But everybody's attacking me saying, no way that the Mets do this trade, yada, yada, yada. When who do you think is honestly a better pitcher, Marcus or Kyle Hendricks?
Kyle Hendricks is the better pitcher.
Okay. excuse me. Noah Syndergaard or Kyle Hendricks? Right now.
Well, right now, Noah can't. Well, he's throwing a baseball flat mound.
That's exactly my point. Because you don't know how he's gonna bounce back. Jake Odorizzi or Kyle Hendricks, Masahiro Tanaka or Kyle Hendricks. You know, like even Trevor Bauer or Kyle Hendricks, which Mets fans were ready to give Bauer 5 years, $150 million. You know,
that's a disgrace.
I mean, that's just what it's going to cost you. That's exactly why Kyle Hendricks is that valuable, right? Like, look at his numbers right here. All right. He has a career. He has a career 3.12 ERA. Last year, he had a 2.88 ERA with are you ready for this? 8 walks and 64 Ks. Okay. Yeah. The year before that, 32 walks, 150 Ks. This guy does not walk players. And it's not like he's giving up the home run ball. 10 homers, 19 homers, 15 homers, 17 homers, 3.4 ERA, 3.44 ERA, 3.03 ERA, 2.13 ERA, you know, and he's only 31. It's not like he's 37 or anything like that. And you have him under control until I believe 2024. So if you go out and you can make this trade, you know that you have four solid number one to number two options, right? You have DeGrom, obviously. You have Cookie Carrasco. You have, excuse me, you have Kyle Hendricks and possibly David Peterson. Depends how he develops. So if you look at that rotation, you could then go out and get flyers, I guess, on a 4 and 5 because your first four or at least your first three can be an ace on almost any other team.
See, I see the love for Hendricks. I really do. But I cannot give up this package. Dom's, I explained the fit with Dom, and at least if not this year, next year, the fit with him sliding over to first and Pete in a DH, rotating them at first, there's no better duo in the sport. JD Davis, serviceable player. I'm not going to say that you said he was bad because we know that we agree that he's good. Brandon Nimmo in a corner outfield spot. You're not going to have Dom there to clutter it up. We can get a legit center fielder.
I'll legit moving center fielder with who? I'm with George Springer, you're saying?
Yeah, so that's who I want. Obviously, the money may not work. I mean, for this year, it works. All the extensions next year, you know, that's some more advanced numbers work that I haven't done yet because this was on the fly.
Yeah, all good, man.
But even if it's not Springer, I see Jackie Bradley Jr. as a fit on this team. I don't see why it's bad to have four left-handed bats, four right-handed bats. Pete McCann, Lindor's a switch hitter. We know that. JD is a right-handed bat. It looks like a pretty balanced lineup to me.
100%, right? But that's if it's 4 and 4. But if it's 4 and 4, that means that Dom is on the bench.
Yeah, and we'll rotate in.
Yeah, so think about that, right? You're the main reason why you're not doing this trade is because of someone that you're going to platoon in and out, which but I think that Pete Alonso is a superstar in baseball. Okay, so it's not like you have no one there. Not to mention that I think Pete is the kind of person that is never satisfied and always wants to get better, right? So let's say Pete comes back this year, right, with an upgraded glove. What are you going to do then? You're going to put Dom in left field. He's not a left fielder. And I think that he proved that he's much better than just a bench bat. So at the end of the day, you are going to have him on the bench probably along with JD Davis. So that's two bench guys that could be added in this trade to get back a center fielder, to get back an ace, and to get back a superstar all-star third baseman.
Well, if we want to play the hypotheticals, we can always play the hypothetical that JD is going to come back with an excellent glove. I mean, we know he has the arm. If we want to play the hypothetical game, we could do with anybody here.
Why is that hypothetical, though? Why is it hypothetical to think that a first baseman who was not a first round pick, who came and beat the home run rookie record, that comes in and gets rejuvenated by fans coming back, and that everybody and that every single Met fan loves, that he's gonna come and he's gonna work on his glove, right? Because let's say he's even a average first base glove, right? I don't think, especially maybe even next year, that you're going to put him at DH, because he does want to play the field too. He said multiple times, "I am a first baseman." Yes, winning does cure everything, right? But if you're a first baseman and you're used to playing first and you're always used to being in the infield, all of a sudden now you're just on the bench every game. You know, like, that could chuck off his whole rhythm and everything. So I don't personally think that saying that Pete Alonso, a prospect that wasn't a top five prospect, wasn't even a top 10 prospect, wasn't a first round pick. Was he was a guy which Met fans thought that he may be nice, but not what he turned into, to think that he could become an average first baseman with his glove. I don't think that's so crazy.
I don't see a reason as to why it's something to bank on. I get that he was a second round pick, but I don't see what that has to do with him improving. His mentality is great, but some players are just more physically limited. I get that, you know, he is better than we expected, that he can have any drive that he wants. The fact is, some people just aren't as good at fielding. I mean, that's just what it is. We cannot go into a season banking on somebody improving their glove. And if it does happen, then just last season, we had Alonso playing, I think it was like half the time at first, and Dom was in half the time at first, and they were splitting with the DH. I don't see why that's not something that we can do.
This year? Or the year after that?
I'm assuming this year is with no DH. Okay. So I'm saying the year after.
Okay.
Pete would be in this year at first. He shows you he has a great glove. That's perfect. I mean, I never want him to not be good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see him being the type of glove that Dom Smith is. And oh, yeah. I would split it. 100%. I would split it. Yeah, I would split it. You know, Dom, you're going to be at first 60-65% of the time. Pete, you're going to play first. You know, even if you want to start them half and half, Pete, just know that eventually we are going to put Dom in at first. We're going to slide Nimmo over to left field. We're going to put Jackie Bradley Jr. over in center, and whether it's the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, whatever, because we're going to take it home now with the defense. Like, that's just what it is.
Okay, so I have a question for you, right? So Pete Alonso, right? We could say that he's been a little below average with his glove at first base, correct?
Yeah.
But that's with J.D. Davis and Amed Rosario in the field. So not to mention a very old Cano at second base. You go from that to possible three gold glovers with McNeil, Lindor, and Brian. Don't you think that by him, that by itself is going to help him?
That doesn't help Pete with his glove.
Really? Because I would much rather have Lindor throwing balls to me than Amed Rosario. I would much rather have Chris Bryant throwing balls to me across the diamond than J.D. Davis. I would much rather have a athletic, not 39-year-old second baseman in Robinson Cano throw balls to me. You know, so that by itself is going to make his job a lot easier, because the throws are going to be more on track, more accurate. There's not going to be as many scoops and hard plays by itself. Chris Bryant is a gold glover. Lindor is a platinum glove. McNeil's position is second base. And when he came up in 2018, I think he played like 25 games or something. He was a stud defensively with his glove at second base. So that by itself is going to make Pete Alonso a much better first baseman, because there's not as many scoops. There's not many high throws. There's not many low throws. You now have gold gloves throwing balls at you rather than Amed Rosario, J.D. Davis, and Robinson Cano, don't you think?
Those guys are 1,000% better. I agree. They limit the damage that Pete can do. They don't make Pete any better. I see what you're trying to say, but it is incorrect. They are going to give him better throws from across the diamond, 1,000%. His error percentage will go down because there are less off-target throws, 1,000%. But the tough plays, the stretches, the short hops, the high throws, he will still make those errors at the same rate. There will just be less chances to make that error.
Which means that there's going to be less chances at errors, which means that automatically the defense is going to go up, which means automatically Pete Alonso is going to become a better defensive first baseman.
He is not going to become better. He is going
but
to...
But once again, right, why do I care if Dom could go out and scoop all these balls and do all these amazing plays if they're barely going to happen? Why do I care about that then? Because if they barely happen, I'm not going to go out and not trade for an ace and a switch-hitting center fielder that could play anywhere in case somebody, God forbid, gets hurt, and a star in Chris Bryant because of a possible low throw here and there. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, let me stop you over there with the start with Chris Bryant. He bursted onto the scene, but he has not been that good. Guy hit 200 last year. He's going to want an extension. I'm just not paying him what he's going to want.
Okay.
Whoa.
You just said that Chris Bryant isn't that. He bursted onto the scene in 2015, his first year.
Okay.
And you think that he hasn't been good since?
No, he's a good player. He's not a superstar.
Okay. So, yes, last year, absolutely terrible year, but he only played 34 games. Okay?
Yes. I'm sorry to cut you off right now, but so we're paying premium. I get that this trade is centered around Kyle Hendricks.
And he's
great.
And I'm happy. Don't forget about the switch hitting center field. Yeah.
I see this as we're paying full price for Chris Bryant as he's going to need an extension coming off of a bad year. I don't see the value. I don't see the fairness in this trade. We're giving him too much value, in my opinion.
But once again, right, I'm trying to find out where the value is because because if it was up to me, I don't know if you listen to my podcast or not, but I rather have Isaiah Green than Brett Baty. I think that Isaiah Green is that good, but you have to give up to get, and that's what the Mets did. I think that Mets fans are so under the radar with Isaiah Green. It's kind of scary. I much rather have Isaiah Green than Brett Baty. So maybe I don't see Brett Baty, excuse me, as highly as you do, but that's because I know that that Brett Baty is probably going to be a DH because he's too big to play third base. And we have Pete at first base, and he's 4 years away, or possibly more, maybe a year less than that. Francisco Alvarez, yes, he is a great prospect. I'm not fighting with you on that, but you are dumping Familia. Brandon Nimmo, he's a good outfielder if he's playing the corner position. JD Davis, right? We both said that, yeah, he's an okay player. He's not something that I'm going to say no to a deal for. And then once again, right, we dump Familia. So that possibly could free up maybe money to go out and sign a Hand or, let's say, a Corey Kluber.
So, oh, yeah. All right.
Before I give you the floor again, and then I'll shut up, I promise, okay?
All right.
In 2019, Chris Bryant had a 282 average, 31 homers, 77 RBIs. 2018, he only played 100 games. I think he got hurt. 13 homers, 52 RBIs, 272 average. Okay. Year before that, 295 average, 29 homers, 73 RBIs. Year before that, 292 average, 39 homers, 102 RBIs. So it's like, it's not like Chris Bryant just had 1 year and that's it. Chris Bryant just had one bad year, but that's only 34 games. And what's 34 games if you play 150 games? You could make that up real fast. And if we're going to talk about last year, right? Lindor batted 252, but who cares? Because everybody knows that it was a shortened season, and in fact, Lindor played double the amount of games as Chris Bryant played. So if anything, you got to give Bryant more of a leash than Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor is, I don't believe that you can compare the two.
No.
Chris Bryant.
I'm just saying.
No, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know you didn't say Chris Bryant was on the level of Lindor, but Chris Bryant, we're going from a third baseman who rakes and plays really, I'm going to call it how it is, like pretty much no defense. And then we're going from him to a third baseman who rakes and has a gold glove. Big upgrade. But this guy's going to need to be paid. You're betting on a bounce back, which I think happens. But at the same time, the prospects we're giving up, you can be not high on Beatty. We're both high on Alvarez. But I think that we're selling early on these guys if we ever were to sell them for major leaguers. Francisco Lindor is eventually going to be a top 20 prospect if he keeps this trajectory.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Not Lindor. I apologize. Francisco Alvarez. Yes,
I 100% agree with you on that.
Beatty, he's the 80th prospect overall. He's played a month in low A ball, mm-hmm. I believe it was. He's going to improve. Dom Smith is a player I really don't want to trade because I see him being just as good as Pete. I mean, his numbers that he put up with the better glove, I don't see why Dom Smith isn't being talked about more as a centerpiece of this team. JD Davis, expendable, like we had said. Brandon Nimmo, I see him being not a centerpiece of this team, but he's a damn good player in left field. We can go and sign somebody else to play that fifth rotation spot. Kyle Hendricks is a beast, but the value just doesn't match up for me. Ian Happ is real good. He's not better than Dom Smith. Ian Happ is real good. Brandon Nimmo plays a corner outfield spot. He gives you top lineup hitter. I don't know why I just stuttered my ass off. I'm sorry.
Dude, I actually have one, bro, so it's like all good.
Yeah. But I think Nimmo fills a need that is so big on this team to have that number one. And then you get into, Lindor at a two, Pete at a three. I mean, I don't think it would be Pete at a three. I think it would be Conforto at a three probably, so you can go lefty-righty. And I think Nimmo fits this lineup more. I think that the value that we're going to give Alvarez lines up so perfectly with McCann. It's just not something I want to do. And if we do it, I want to do it later on when Alvarez is seen as that top 20 prospect. Remember when the Cubs gave up Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman? Huge overpay, but they cashed in. They got the piece that they needed for a guy that they held on to until he was a premium asset, and they got a World Series. I think that we're selling early and not maximizing our assets. I think that while this trade is made to help the cap space, I think it helps it and hurts it at the same time with Hendricks being here, but now Brian also being here, who needs an extension. Ian Happ is a great player, but I don't see him helping I don't see him helping the I'm trying to find the words here, but Ian Happ compared to Dom Smith, the bat isn't better. It's just not.
I'm sorry, who?
Defensive center field. I said Ian Happ to Dom Smith.
Okay.
His bat is not better.
Than Dom Smith.
Yeah.
Okay.
He helps the defense, but I see Jackie Bradley Jr. as a late-inning platoon defensive switch, et cetera, whatever you want to call it. I see that as the play. It lets us keep our prospects. Our timeline is beautiful with McCann. I just overall, we have, I think it's like $30 or $40 million left to spend.
What now?
I see it being, I believe we
have,
so. So.
We have 27.
27. Okay, so yeah, so 30 about. Okay. I could see, 10 going to hand. I can see us taking a shot on a back-end rotation guy and let him fight out with Mattson Peterson for the 4-5 spot. When Noah gets back, they're one of those guys in the pen. I see this team working out without having to give the prospects. And that's something that Steve Cohen harped on Twitter, how we don't have the strongest farm. That's something that Sandy Alderson had said, that, we – don't really care about the how do you say it? We don't care about the checks anymore. We just care about being a good organization. Mm-hmm. I think good organizations don't sell this early on their prospects.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I hope you excuse me. I don't want to be rude, but I have to go in a little while, so I'm just trying to wrap up my side of the debate. And so that's just my case behind not making this trade. I think that with a couple free agent signings like a Jackie Bradley Jr., Brad Hand, and maybe like a Corey Kluber, mm-hmm. you could split that $30 million up without even getting Springer, and this team can be a top end roster in the NL. I mean, I could see this team with a Jackie Bradley Jr., with a Brad Hand to stabilize the pen. You get Diaz, Seth Lugo, Brad Hand, and Trevor May. That's a great four in the back of the pen. I see this being a top three roster in the NL. I would personally put them over the Braves because really? I think they're a little bit overrated. I know others like are really big on the Braves, but maybe it's a little bit of homerism. But I would put them over there.
Okay. I mean, I see the Mets right now as a wild card team, possibly making mm-hmm. a push, but. I don't personally think I'm that we're better than the Braves, never mind the Dodgers. But if you go out and you get Bryant, Hendricks, and Hap, your rotation is set for the next 4 years, number one. Number two, you have a center fielder, which who could play everywhere else, right? Number three, right? Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant, right? Okay. Number four, right? If there is a DH next year, right? What did you say about, about Steve Cohen? A DH is not going to cost that much money. It may cost you a 2-year deal, let's say $10 million a year for a Nelson Cruz, but it's not like a be all end all, right? And number mm-hmm. five, yes, I agree. The Mets don't have a farm system. Don't go out and trade all your prospects, right? But there is another Francisco Alvarez. There are plenty of Brett Beatty's, plenty. All right. So, and like you said, right, Steve Cohen, right, money talks. Okay. So I think that he much rather pay on the international tax and go out and sign a bunch of top guys to replenish the farm system and possibly replace Alvarez than go out and spend tens of millions and possibly hundreds of millions of dollars to go out and fix the rotation and fix center field.
Well, all right, I'm going to have to go.
No,
I really appreciate
100%,
it.
100%, dude. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. I really appreciate it. This, I'm not going to lie, this kind of went a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah. Yo, my dad was banging on the door. What are you doing?
You good. All right, man. Have a good one. Take care.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on, bro. I appreciate it. I know Twitter is usually, a little bit more hostile, so I'm glad that we had a nice conversation.
100%. This is exactly why I have this podcast, because if I could give other Met fans a platform, that is awesome for me, and that's exactly why I'm doing mm-hmm. this. And there's no hard feelings or anything, I have an opinion, you have one, and that's it. It's not real life, it's sports, who cares,
mm-hmm.
All right, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Enjoy. Have a good night, man.
Thank you for having